Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. McCarty Deaver has won it.
Oh yes, hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays for another week where we had great racing, not just Victoria, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, even Hong Kong, and we are going to digest it all. Richard Irvin, welcome to you. Another fantastic weekend where we don't have to pretend to pump things up because we're genuinely excited.
Genuinely excited. Second long weekend in a row. How good's life in Australia? It's great to be working class, isn't it, Rog?
I wouldn't know. Just
And you would set you up nicely with that one.
Let's get into the straight six.
The straight six.
Well, where else would we kick it off but with the Robert Sangster Stakes? How did OVHS go, Rich? I just wondered.
Not very well.
Yeah, but as a show of good faith, I'm still wearing the red, white, and blue of her silks. As I had nothing to do with the Western Bulldogs' magnificent win over the Giants at the weekend, but. Alas, let's talk about racing because it was a bit of a messy Sangster. Take nothing away from the winner in Charm Stone, a horse I didn't think we'd get to see the best of. She won three of her first four starts and then through a combination of factors, it hadn't really happened for her, but the stable was able to get her back and great patience from Mick Price, Michael Kent Jr. and the owners. It paid off in spades here.
She's always been a horse with a lot of class, cost $1.55 million as a yearling, was favourite in 2023 for the Blue Diamond and also the Coolmore, didn't really measure up. But they'd be stoked because that's her first Group 1 win. Obviously, it means a lot in terms of breeding. Beautiful ride by Zara. Just hung back like Zara likes to do. Just got nice little trails in and around Asfura Commemorative. So she'll go on to the Goodwood. She's gone back to Cranbourne.
Cranbourne.
I always get that wrong. She's gone back to Cranbourne, which is interesting. One thing we'll talk about a little bit later, but Reserve Bank, for example, which from the Mick Price, Mick Ken Jr. yard as well, he's staying in Adelaide because Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. don't think they're going back and forth to Cranbourne twice in a campaign.
Well, they think they've got the travel factor worked out. When you go to Adelaide with horses, you do not go more than once. Yeah. So, and look, you can't argue with them. They're having a great run in Adelaide.
Yep. So she'll go on to the Goodwood and then they'll put her away and you'd think that they'd be looking at some pretty nice targets over the spring. I might get shot down for saying this, but she could even pop up in an Everest.
She could. She'd be racing for second, but she could go there.
Because Briasa will win.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking, Rich.
So that was the first of three from Zara. We're going to move on and look at the other two.
Yeah, well, of course, it was another great ride at Benagil, of course, or Benagil in the Australasian Oaks. And what an emotional win this was. Less than 2 months after the death of Mike Moroney, Glenn Thompson gets his first Group 1. And this comes after him taking out the Moynton Cup last Saturday, getting Banker's Choice a ticket in the Caulfield Cup. So it's a great couple of weeks. And this was a dominant win. We lauded Moving Out last week. She steamed home as well from last, but Benagil was in cruise control. She was never losing that race.
Yeah, class prevails. She obviously had the form behind Treasure of the Moment in the Vinery. And it was pretty clever by Glenn Thompson not to try and go around in the Oaks. He thought, no, we're not going to beat Treasure of the Moment in the Oaks. Let's just sit back and wait for the Australasian Oaks. And she was way, way too good in that race. They'll probably go to Queensland. Just wait and see how she pulls up. One other interesting thing too is where does she go? Because we know that Lindsay Park's taking over. So will Benagil go to Lindsay Park or will Glenn Thompson be able to hold on to her? I hope that he gets to hold on to her.
Well, that's going to come down to the ownership. But what an audition Glenn Thompson has made over the last couple of weeks with Banker's Choice winning that Moynton Cup, with Benagil winning the Australasian Oaks. He's shown that he is a very, very astute trainer in his own right. So instead of just get people going, it was always Mike Moroney. Well, no. It was clearly Glenn Thompson as well. And you can now have the option. You send him to the Hayes boys and to Lindsay Park, who, as you know, Rich, I'm a massive rap on.
Yeah.
But gee, Glenn Thompson's a pretty bloody good option as well. And he's going to have 20 boxes there. So he's going to be a boutique little stable. And he's now a trainer with a Group 1 to his name, potentially another Group 1 to come in Queensland if she goes up for the Oaks there. She obviously can stay. So he's putting together a very nice audition for owners who are looking to put their trainer to a smaller stable and not go into that behemoth that is Lindsay Park, a very good behemoth, but a behemoth nonetheless.
Yeah, he seems like a lovely, unassuming man. Obviously, a great horseman. So, wish him all the best. And we're going to move on. I think we found the next growing empire. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, Roger.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Well, it remains to be seen. Legacy Bound is the horse we're talking about. And this was a very dominant victory in the Breeders' Stakes, the race that, of course, Growing Empire won last year. Now, they opted to run this horse in the Group 3 over here in Adelaide rather than the listed Anzac Stakes Flemington on Friday. And this was worth $25,000 less. You'd say he would have had a mortgage on both races. So a very promising win by a very nice horse for Robbie Griffiths.
Yeah, exciting for Robbie Griffiths. He'd be really happy. So to put a bit of context on it, I went back and looked at what Growing Empire did as a rating on Dan O'Sullivan's rating system. He did 91.2 and Legacy did 90.5 on Saturday, so it's pretty close. And Griffiths thinks he can easily stretch out to 14 to 1600. They might go up to Brisbane for the size and JJ Atkins, but they're definitely fired up for a Golden Rose Caulfield Guineas quest.
Well, he's an Ole Kirk who's doing great things as a first season sire. And that family, you know, that's the All Too Hard bloodlines. You know, obviously Buck Caviar's in the All Too Hard relation. So there's a lot of great stallions on that breeding line there. Yep. And look, he looks like a horse who definitely will stretch out given that. JJ Atkins, I think I mentioned it last week, Rich. Our mate Tommy Hackett's favourite form race is a two-year-old. So if you go up there in the JJ Atkins, look out because that would suggest you're going to be a very good three-year-old as Ole Kirk came back a very good three-year-old as well.
And so Legacy Bound is a gelding as well, which makes life a little bit easier for Robert Griffiths going forward. They don't have to worry about the whole stallion.
But that's what surprised me, Rich, about why they went to a Group 3 over the listed. Because when you're a gelding, it's pretty much just about prize money. You're not trying to build that breeding resume. So to take 25 grand less when could have stayed home and picked up an extra 25 grand and would have won that race, let's be honest.
Mm. Yeah. So anyway, exciting horse. And I look forward to watching its progress. And now we're going to go and look at a horse which is still a colt, and I reckon the owners would be pretty happy about that.
Yeah, Reserve Bank. This is in a Tobin Bronze, and this was a really nice race. And he's strung together a couple of really nice performances now at Reserve Bank. It was a really good day for the Price Kent stable, actually. Yeah. He does look a Group 1 standard colt, although we see there about many horses who never won a Group 1. They will be keen to get that win potentially in the spring, although he's going to have a crack at the Goodwood as well, Rich.
Yeah, and I think he's a chance in the Goodwood. He's going to be down
good
in the weights.
Good luck betting Gig and Kick in the low
Well, we're going to bring the market. I mean, I think he's going to get about 54.5 Reserve Bank.
I don't think Schwartz is going there.
Solid in the market. No, because Schwartz goes towards the Doomben 10,000, doesn't it?
Yep.
And Charmstone as well. Can't rule her out, of course. So it's coming together quite well. Growing Empire, the horse that we were just talking about. So he stays in Adelaide, as I said, because he went back after the Redelva, he went back to Cranbourne. But they don't want to do that to him again. Look, a lot at stake for them in the Goodwood in a couple of weeks. They'd be absolutely delighted if he could pick off a Group 1 because he's always going to, he's not up to that elite level. We know that. But if they could pick off a Group 1, he's well bred, they'd be absolutely delighted.
Right, and picking off a Group 1 in open company.
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's move on because the Queen of the South was another one of the feature races. This is a Group 2 for the fillies and mares and Zalotti's. This was Graham Begg's first ever South Australian winner.
Unbelievable.
Zalotti's, and of course, in the Jonathan Munns Silk, so the same as Giga Kick, very prominent owner, gets the win here. And look, did Junior Matt put it in his run of the day, Paul?
I can't totally remember, but we know he put it in his win of the day, Paul, a few weeks ago, which you scoffed at. He texts me straight away saying he wants a public apology from Roger on this show. So will he be getting that?
Absolutely not. Junior Matt, you need to work on your run of the day polls. This is suspect
action.
I have been petitioning Richard to take it out of your hands, Junior Matt.
Junior Matt tipped the Quinella and the Goodwood too. And on the Saturday set, he started by saying, yeah, I like Charmstone. I also like Amina. And my response was, okay. And then I was like, actually, I better not mock him. Look what happened, eh?
Well, but put it this way, I think Junior Matt does his best work pre-race in finding winners than post-race in finding runs of the day.
Okay. Well, we'll take that on notice and see what his reaction is. It could be quite swift.
No doubt it will. As you mentioned, this is a good result for Pinecliff Racing, as say Jonathan Munn, so another good horse. And Queensland South has been a decent race looking toward the Queensland Carnival before as well.
Yeah, and so like they've knocked off the Group 2, which is fantastic. They've probably got to try and knock off a Group 1 now. Her best chance, I believe, is up in Brisbane over the next couple of months. There's a lot of Group 1s up for there, open to all, but the one that sort of looks as like she'd be a chance in would be the Tats Tiara. Tats Tiara's never that easy to win. I think Bella Nipotina won it last year, didn't it?
Yes, after running second to I Wish I Win in the Kingsford Smith.
Correct, yes. So I would imagine they'd probably go towards that because if she could win that or even you know be placed in a Group 1 place would help her, and then she could probably still go to stud. If I owned Zlotys, I don't think I'd be racing her over the spring trying to win a Group 1 because I just don't think it can happen. Anyway, we'll wait and see what happens with Zlotys.
There was racing at Flemington on the weekend. It was a banner day of racing in Victoria, of course. We had a benchmark-style meeting at Moody Valley on Saturday, but on Friday at Flemington, when most people were watching Collingwood and Essendon duke it out at the MCG, the Anzac Stakes, which is the race that I said that Legacy Bound would have had a mortgage on, he opted to run over in Adelaide instead of this, and that opened the door for High Vol for Nick Ryan and Jai McNeil to get the victory here in the two-year-old feature.
Always good to win when you've never had a race and you're racing against other horses that have. You can see just gets through the line here and gets the job done. Interesting, he's had six jump outs before it ended up at Flemington on Saturday. So, look, yeah, nice win. Good to see Nick Ryan have another good one. And we move on to talk about American Wolf.
Yeah, so this was the VRC St. Ledger, so the staying race on
2,800 metres. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So this looks like a horse that'll go towards the SA Derby for Buston Young. Now, Buston Young, if there's one thing they had to do, it's train those sort of middle to staying horses.
Yeah, I think they might have up to four or five in the Derby. So American Wolf goes past the line there pretty nicely. Let's bring the Derby market up. Look, it's not the most outstanding SA Derby market we've ever seen.
I'm surprised. I mean, Gold Rush Guru's been down this preparation, no doubt. But
yeah, it hasn't really come up. As
you know, this is a VRC Derby winner who's going around $13 in an SA Derby. I mean, I'm not saying he's in great form, but he's a chance because you know he's going
to
get
much to find out. Absolutely,
exactly.
Yeah. Lavilliers it's a half to Pericles, isn't it?
I'd need to have the breeding page in front of me. I don't know that one. So appreciate that question without notice, Richard.
No, I'm pretty sure it is. I can confirm that.
Okay.
And what else do we have in Vic over the weekend, Rog?
Yeah, so New York Lust. Now, this is an exciting story. There's another short price favourite that got up at the Valley. We'll go to better races. She's off to Adelaide for the Proud Miss. Looks a really nice mess. She's a five-year-old, but she's only had eight starts. And she's had five wins in a row.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know. I haven't heard EJ talk about her a great deal. And not saying he hasn't. I just haven't heard it. I'm not sure whether she had issues or whether she's been a slow developer, but he's clearly been patient. Yep. And she looks a really nice horse, and she seems to be working through her grades in quite nicely.
Looking forward to seeing her in Adelaide. Moving to the Quokka, eh?
Well, let's go to the West because this is the $5 million feature, first year of being a $5 million race. And look, Overpass went out a dominant favourite, undefeated in the Quokka. So he won the first two editions. He's also won Group 1s over there in Perth. He's never been beaten at Ascot until now when Joker's Grin come flying down the outside at $25, I reckon it was, no doubt. And yep. As tipped by our friend Tom Hackett, I'm sure we'll touch on that when we get him on in a sec. But a great win, a great day, great story, really, because the trainer of Joker's Grin is a 70-year-old who, you know, hasn't done, you know, a huge amount, but this is his biggest day ever. Pat Carberry is one of the longest-serving, most popular jocks in WA. He's on board. He said it was his best day at the races. He's ridden bloody Northerly and Amelia's Jewel.
And they say they're best mates as well. But yeah, it was a nice story, quite a lot of emotion when he won. My thoughts on the race over also, Overpass just got taken on a little bit like by Front Page. I remember early on the race when I saw them going, oh, this doesn't look great for Overpass. Just didn't quite have it on the day. Obviously, Headwall was amazing, just got nutted on the post. I think you probably got to send Headwall to the Goodwood. And the only other thing, Joker's Grin goes to the paddock. Its campaign in the summer will be in Perth, you know, the Gold Rush, races like that, the Winterbottom.
Yep.
I heard him asked, would you consider going east? And he said, absolutely, if, you know, there's offers there. So I think it's good with these good horses. You know, just try and stay in your own, these Western trained horses, try and stay in your own backyard, but if opportunity comes up over east, jump on top of it.
It hasn't been a particularly happy hunting ground for WA horses to come over east in recent times. He's an exciting horse for the simple fact he's got that turn of foot. Now, they don't win too often, those backmarkers that come screaming home, but they are exciting to watch. And who knows, if they get the right run of the race and conditions are set up for backmarkers, then he could pick off a nice race in the east. But let's not get too far ahead. He did go out as a $20-odd pop in this race. So we won't get carried away just yet. Before we get to the win of the day, no, let's do win of the day poll first. Let's go win of the day and let's check out Junior Matt.
Here we go. What do we got? Joker's Grin in an absolute landslide.
Chance for King Zephyr, Matt.
So King Zephyr won the last race on Anzac Day. And dismiss King Zephyr at your peril. I saw it was a lovely win. What's he said? They're group horse in the making. So if Junior Matt thinks that, we must respect.
All right, that wraps up Friday, Saturday. What about Sunday, Rich? Because the focus shifted over to Hong Kong for Champions. Is it Champions Day? It's branded Champions over Day. There.
Yep,
yeah, and cool. Champion we definitely saw in Ka Ying Rising. He is not only the world's best sprinter, he's the most exciting racehorse in the world at the moment.
Jenny,
okay. Does the... Yep, moving on.
No, I'm about to fire right up. Jenny, who does the mounting yard, said that... Jenny Chapman said that he absolutely is in the conversation with the best sprinters Hong Kong's ever had. So that's pretty high praise. Obviously, David Hayes says it's the best horse he's ever had, and they've had some pretty good ones, the Hayes family. So he goes to the paddock now, and he will come back for the Everest, and he's going to go straight in the Everest. No lead-up runs or anything like that. He'll have a track gallop probably a week or two beforehand at Randwick. But David Hayes says that he's absolutely deadly fresh. Who can doubt him? Bring him to the Everest. I think it's about even money now. There's a lot of talk about whether he's a good bet or a bad bet.
David Hayes is pushing to have a race change to a weight for age in Hong Kong, I understand, so he could have a lead-up race there and then go into the Everest. He's also ruled out running in Melbourne based on the current scanning conditions for international horses, because he'd get scanned before the Everest and then he'd have to get scanned again before running in the Champion Sprint. And David said, nah, well, if that's the case, he's not coming. So the Victorian race, we need to change the rules for us to see him at Champions Day at Flemington. Jenny Chapman, by the way, Rich, part owns, well, her husband, Aviatrice.
Oh, wow.
That's Price Racing. Jenny Chapman is David Price's wife. Hopefully, I think she's a Bulldog supporter as well. Now, the Champions Mile was the race that we were interested in from an Australian perspective. Hayes family, yet again, albeit the three boys. Mr. Brightside, he picked a bad day to have his worst run of his career. But
yeah,
there was a dominant favourite here, and it wasn't Red Lion who nutted him out on the line.
J-Mac had a difficult day. I'm pretty sure he didn't ride a winner. And I was watching Mr. Brightside very closely in the run. It just never really settled, got buffeted around a lot during the run. I just thought, this isn't looking very good. All Royal Patronage was a bit disappointing as well. It's very hard to go over there in Hong Kong and, you know, travel that far and win.
But also,
you know,
Brightside's, what, eight now? Seven?
Yeah. He's eight, I think. Yeah. Maybe seven. I'm not totally sure.
It could be six. Again, research. he's on his downward spiral, but it wasn't like, oh, geez, he's done. He doesn't want to race anymore. No, he just had a shit one.
Yeah, you know, for sure. Willow said he just didn't find anything. They won't be worried at all. They'd be disappointed. It was, you know, a little bit embarrassing because he's the flag horse, the flag bearer for their stable. But, you know, you press on and he'll obviously have a spell now, and then they'll bring him back for spring. And I'd imagine he'd be completely competitive in everything he goes in. And if they start to get the slightest inkling that he's over it, obviously they'll just put him in the paddock at Lindsay Park forever.
Yeah, and he'll have a barn named after him up there. He's the most winning.
Might name the whole joint after him.
I doubt it. Lindsay Park's been known as Lindsay Park since CS was running the show back in the day.
Rename Lindsay Park Mr. Brightside Park, and also bring in the ability to buy golden tickets in the Melbourne Cup. It'll fix race all of these problems.
Lindsay Park. The original.
Even smiling at that one. He likes that one.
The original Lindsay Park's in Adelaide, so this isn't even the original Lindsay Park. So they're not going to change it if they didn't name the new joint by a different name. Anyway, we digress, as we tend to do. The Queen Elizabeth Cup. This was a win for the Aussies. I mean, in a way. Aussie jockey. The Champions Mile was a win for the Aussies.
This is true.
Hugh Bowman was on Red Line.
You know what I did notice? There's so many Aussie jockeys over there. Like, all the best jockeys go over there. And who was there? Craig was there.
Ka Ying Rising, Zach Purton. Hugh Bowman won the Champions Mile. And here's Damien Lane Tastiera winning the Queen Elizabeth Cup.
Yep. So the interesting thing here was prognosis. So on Saturday night, King's texted me because he was over in Hong Kong. He said, mate, rip into prognosis for the Ladbrokes pot. And I backed it at... Then we got $8.25. It started like $3.30 something. It was a massive, massive go.
Can't eat odds, mate.
Can't eat odds. No, that's right. They kept the money. Interesting ride by J-Mac. I watched him very closely and he settled out the back and then he had an opportunity maybe to get a little bit closer and he was very just happy sitting at the back. And the whole time, Frosty Lane's up front with Tastiera just going, how good's this? And then Tastiera sprinted and Prognosis just had a completely insurmountable challenge. Not J-Mac's best ride. I'm sure he wouldn't have been happy with the day he had. You know, he was incredible on, day two of the championships. Not his best day. We press on. And I would imagine that Charlotte Mills from the Moonee Valley Racing Club will be talking to the owners of Tastiera as well as Prognosis and trying to get them both out for the last Cox Plate at the way Moonee Valley is at the moment.
Say it's not J-Mac's best day. What do you reckon J-Mac's best day would be? Because he's got a few of them.
Yep.
Well, maybe day two of the championships would be right up there. Yeah, and then he rode four on Derby Day.
Many of them.
Five on Derby Day 1 year at Flemington when he rode 11 for the Carnival. Anyway, I digress. My big takeaway from the weekend, Rich, and we have seen it all three of these races, but we have not heard the calls. And it was a weekend for the pre-written line from our race callers in big races. And this happens a lot. I'm not taking the piss on the race callers here because I've got mates. Well, Matt Hills, he says he does it. And if the right horse wins, he's got the line ready to go. Mates are footy callers and they always have one in the back pocket for if a certain player kicks a goal and you go, gee, what a great line. And I actually had it ready for the last 2 weeks, just waiting for him to kick it.
But you have to. It's the right thing to do. You've got to be
100%. But I just noticed it over the weekend that there was three races in particular, all group ones, where the commentators had run ready to go.
Let's listen to him.
Benazil, the gods have spoken. Benazil wins the Australasian Oaks.
He's charging. They hit it. I think he might have got the winning hand.
Does it with the grace and poise of another great sprinter. He's the Usain Bolt of the equine world. Kaying Rising.
Cook the book.
All right, this is Cook the Book, and we welcome in from Ladbrokes, Tom Hackett, as we do every week with Kingsley still overseas. I think he was at Hong Kong last night taking in the races. Tommy, welcome to you. And before we start cooking said book, we better give out the plaudits. Ladbrokes Racing Club and Ladbrokes in general, a huge weekend, especially over there in the West. You got Joker's Green Home in the Quokka. You got up in the Sandcroper, which is the dog version of the Quokka. And, well, let's bring you back down to earth. You got the favourite beaten in the harness version.
Yeah, well, our shortest price runner of the weekend, Minstrel in the Nullarbor, was the one that did get beaten, but a very tough run there. But no, almost a perfect weekend for the Ladbrokes Racing Club at the Western Trilogy to go back-to-back in the Sandgroper. Deadly Avenger was a drifter in betting, but just jumped straight to the front. Never really looked like getting run down. It was a dominant win. And then Joker's Grin. You know, I talked it up, Rog, on Moody the Mike. That this
I can't wait for Wednesday when you just step into that. It'll be mytho-like areas taking 5 minute victory lap.
But it was a horse that I did think it's untapped. It had serious upside and it does have a serious turn of foot. And it showed that on Saturday where it basically came from last in Chautauqua style fashion to get the job done in the Quokka. So it's a huge thrill. We historically with Ladbrokes, we've got a really good record in the Greyhound races, which we continued, but historically we haven't had as much success in the Thoroughbred races. The closest we went was running second with I Wish I Win in the Everest a couple of years ago. But outside of that, it's been pretty tough times for us in the Thoroughbred races. So a huge thrill to take home the Quokka, particularly at a good price for the punters as well.
Is that your biggest win for Ladbrokes Racing Club, the Quokka? Would you say that that's
the best
thing it's done? Yeah.
So definitely now we won the country championships with Know Thyself, who was a winner again on the weekend, and then we've now won the Sandgroper twice and the Phoenix with Scalacci. But definitely from a thoroughbred standpoint, the Quokka, it's a $5 million race. Like it's a very, very serious race. So to win that was extremely exciting. And I think I was almost had a heart attack when he was storming. I thought he might just run out of time, but he got there in the end on the line. It was a huge run. If you haven't seen the replay, it's definitely worth checking out.
And I'd imagine you had a fair crack at it too, Tommy. But I whacked it in the quaddie purely on your advice. Hopefully some of our other podcast listeners got up there. But Rich, the main takeaway from the weekend is that Tom has really stepped on your toes in terms of Ladbrokes pots. And Wolfden had a pot and had a collect or 50% return on the investment, but you've blown that out of the park, Tom. Your little Ladbrokes pot at Ascot on Saturday.
Yeah, well, the previous record was the big pot hosted pot from Wolfden on William Reid's Stakes Day. Nailed that big multi. But we started off, we had a pot each night. Thursday, the punters got $91 back for their 50. So that was a good start at the Sand Groper. They got $66 back for their 50 on Friday for the Nullarbor. And then I decided that was a bit of, that was child's play. Let's get serious on the Saturday for the clocker that we managed to turn $50 into $562 and a little bit of change there for the Ladbrokes punters involved. So obviously it does help when your slot runner does win the main race at $20. But the big result was we were able to get the quaddy at Perth, which paid $17,000. So we had Joker's Grin, obviously, a big result for us there in the quokka, had the winner of the Karrakatta Plate. Twain's Angel, who won the Joey, was the last horse I threw in. So
that's what knocked me out of the quaddy.
And then we had the field running for us in the last. I thought the last at Ascot on Saturday was an extremely open race, and it turned out to be the case with the horse winning at double figure odds. So it was a good result for the punters in that Ladbrokes hosted pot.
And you can take the field when you're betting with other people's money, Tom. But you weren't on track there, and I'd imagine you're very much looking forward to going to Ascot next time just to get carried in, Jewish wedding style to the function. We better get on to the book on Saturday, and let's go to Moonee Valley. It was only a benchmark meeting at Moonee Valley, but I'd be interested to know what the turnover was like, given the focus was very much on Adelaide and Perth. And even Brisbane had stakes racing on it as well. But the favourites dominated Moonee Valley, and certainly like LOU, it seemed like every man in their... I don't know anyone who didn't back LOU in race two. And then New York Luster, New York Luster was well backed as well and in getting the victory there. So I'd imagine you're on your knees to an extent.
Yeah, absolutely. Turnover was very strong at the Valley on Saturday for Odgeport. You say it's not a stakes meeting, but it was a very, very strong for this time of year, and the punters were all over us, essentially. Punters won 5 of the 9 races on the card, including 4 of the first 5. LOU, $150,000 loser. New York Luster was another big loser, around the sort of $200,000 mark. El Rocco was a massive go. It was a horse that we were sort of keen to take on. It ended up being a losing result of $367,000. And then in the last, Waimarie was a losing result of $284,000. So, no, punters all over us at Moonee Valley on Saturday. And, again, Melbourne proving to be a happy hunting yard now for the punters as we sort of move into sort of the off-season.
Me and my family quaddy, we got the quaddy at Moonee Valley on Saturday. And those two horses that ran 1 and 2 went to the line together. And the swing between it for our book was 36 cents as to which one would have paid more. So I wasn't too worried which way. And the better one result, we got an extra 36 cents by Waimarie getting up there. In terms of the Group 1 racing over at Adelaide, Benagil was well fancied in the Oaks. But what about in the Robert Sangster? That seemed like a messy race, but a horse who was well in the market winning, though, with Charmstone.
It felt like every sharp punter in the country ended up being on Benagil in the Australasian Oaks. It was a very good go late. Ended up being a losing result of just shy of $400,000 for us. It was actually the only losing result in the race. It was pretty much a sustained go for that horse all afternoon. So a big result for the punters there. The Sangster, she said, Roger, it was a very messy race. There was money for a host of different horses. The worst result for us was ended up being Commemorative, who was a losing result of $246,000 and was probably a little bit stiff, didn't have a huge amount of luck in running. But Charmstone was a good winner and ended up being a good result for the book. It was a winning result of $317,000. Cool. So it sort of did look like a race where we could get a result. And so it was good to get back on the back of getting absolutely stripped in the Australasian Oaks.
Was there any money for Asfura? I'm just interested if anyone thought she could run the 1200.
Really? Yeah, that was the greatest lay of all time.
Yeah, with a couple of sharp punters ended up landing on Asfura in the Sangster. So but for punters. Us, it was... Well, for us, it was just a small losing result, but there was money for essentially every horse in this field. It was it looked like a messy race. I think it's one of those races you could run 15 times, you probably get 12 different winners. It was a very competitive affair.
When you have You know, racing in Melbourne and Sydney, and to a lesser extent Brisbane, regardless of the sort of racing it is, being benchmark at the Valley, like you say, it wasn't exactly a banner day in Sydney either, but the fact is they're always going to bet there. Then you had Group 1s in Adelaide and such a big meet at Ascot. Was this one of the biggest turnover weekends we've seen for quite some time?
Yeah, it was a very a strong weekend, and obviously you've sort of got that, as you said, Rog. You've Melbourne and Sydney, particularly if it is still at the city tracks, like a Moonee Valley, like a Randwick, you've got a really high floor. Like there's always attention paid to those meetings, but then it's your Perths, your Adelaides and your Brisbanes can sort of fluctuate depending on the quality of the racing. And with all three of those states having really strong racing on the weekend, it does help when there is that free-to-air TV coverage as well. Like obviously the Quokka meeting was on racing.com. We saw, the Adelaide race is focused on Channel 7 there as well. All those things do make a big difference. So no, it was and then you add in the fact it was a long weekend, punters are up and about, a lot of footy on as well. It was a good weekend turnover wise, and I think this is an underrated time of year from a racing standpoint, because the racing in Melbourne and Sydney is still quite good, still very competitive. It's really good betting, and then you've got these quality horses going around right around the country. I think it's a good time to be a punter this time of year.
The best thing for the racing industry would be if they had free-to-air coverage of every meet channel every weekend. Because like you say, Tom, that was awesome on Saturday when you could just get an absolute fill of racing across the board on free-to-air. That's what it should be, and that would be the best thing for racing, I think, going forward. Overall, away from that, away from the politics of it and TV side of things, who won? Punters, bookies across the board on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's different meetings with different results. I'd say Morphettville was almost, we'll call it a draw, maybe slight win for the book. Punters definitely way in front at the Valley. And then wins for the book, particularly in Sydney. Joker's Grin was a very big result for us in Perth. Obviously, running
personally and for the book.
But also for the book, it was a big winner. There was, as you would expect there was a lot of money for Overpass, and Crescetti was well backed in that race as well. So I'd say it was across the board pretty even, but definitely the punters should be applauded for their dominance at Moonee Valley. Back-to-back weekends in Melbourne where it's been pretty much one-way traffic for the punters.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy, thank you very much for your time. Well done again on your efforts in Perth on the weekend, and we will chat to you next Monday.
Sneak peek.
All right. Well done, Tom. Well done. This Saturday is another Group 1 Saturday, Richard. It is the SA Derby, which we have already touched on at Morphettville. We have looked at the market. We return to Caulfield and begin the winter racing series in Melbourne and in New South Wales, I believe. What are we off to? Hawkesbury. How far is Hawkesbury from Sydney?
It's about at 45 minutes to an hour. Probably costs about $45 in tolls.
So it's probably similar to Mornington in Melbourne, sure. If we're going to go from
Melbourne. That'd be about Melbourne, right, yeah. So look, I've got to be honest, it's a bit of a quieter weekend of racing. We do have the Group 1 SA Derby. But after that's out of the way, then we've got a brilliant day the weekend after, because we've got Goodwood and also the Hollandale Stakes at Gold Coast. Then we get into the bulk of the Brisbane Carnival, which will be great, but look, I've got to be honest, it's a bit of a slower weekend, but...
What's NRL Magic Round? So that's why.
Sure. But what we're going to do is focus harder on trying to back a winner, because when you back winners, the more winners you back, the better the weekend of racing is.
And finding winners is absolutely what this show is about, because we're about reviewing, not previewing.
This is true, but you can find out the winners or what we think will win the Saturday set this week. And on the Den. There's a lot of winner backers on the Den.
Well, and if you get the pots going the way you've been going at the moment, then there's plenty of winners to be had. We will chat to you again next Monday when we review it all once again.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.